Jimmy, Jimmy Crane, Jimmy Crane's a nerd. Jimmy Crane's an improv nerd. Jimmy Crane's a nerd.
Oh, hey everybody, this is Jimmy Crane, and you're listening to a very special episode of Improv Nerd. It's our 200th episode. And as you know, I'm not one who trusts celebrations or milestones, but I will make an exception today because this really, truly is a milestone, episode 200. I can't believe we've come this far. We started out doing this podcast a little less than 5 years ago, and so we're doing something special for you today. And I wish I could take credit for it, but I can't because you guys actually came up with this idea. As you know, and I don't even know when I started doing this, when I would interview people, but at the end, I would ask them a piece of advice they'd give for somebody who's starting out in improv or comedy today. And what you guys have suggested is, why don't you take some of those suggestions and put them together in a compilation episode? So that is what we're doing today for our 200th episode. So you'll hear from people like Adam McKay, Katie Rich, Pete Gardner, Miles Stroth, Broad City, Rachel Mason, Chris Redd, Lauren Lapkus, Brad Morris, TJ and Dave, Jill Soloway, Bob Odenkirk, Michael O'Brien, and Jon Favreau. This 200th episode of Improv Nerd is sponsored by the Green Bay Improv Festival, which is celebrating 5 years of bringing the best improvisers to Northeast Wisconsin. This year's festival will run October 21st, 22nd, 28th, and 29th. They're now accepting submissions now through August 31st. Submissions are being accepted via the Improv Network at theimprovnetwork.org. That's theimprovnetwork.org. For more information, check out the Green Bay Improv Festival on Facebook. This episode of Improv Nerd is also sponsored by the Tampa Bay Improv Festival, which is November 17th through the 19th. Now, if you haven't visited Tampa Bay in November, you are missing the sunshine and an improv revolution. Last year's festival brought together teams from New York, Chicago, Austin, Boston, San Francisco, London, and other great cities for 3 days of sold-out shows and workshops. Submissions are open until August 31st at TampaBayImprovFestival.com. That's TampaBayImprovFestival.com. Join the party in Florida. Do Tampa Bay Improv. Let's get this party started. Our first piece of advice comes from Adam McKay in episode 168. He is the director of movies like Anchorman, Talladega Nights, and he's also the Oscar-winning director for the movie The Big Short. Here's what Adam had to say.
Do as much as you possibly can. Improvise anywhere. Crappiest stages. Doesn't matter. We used to do the weirdest shows. Get on stage, make videos with your friends, work, write sketches, go take acting classes at weird acting schools because you're going to learn something from it. Go watch bizarre avant-garde theater companies. You never know what you're going to pick up. That's what we used to do here. We saw incredible theater. Never assume that all your work is about improv. It's not. It's about straight theater. It's about, you know, bizarre movies. It's about music you wouldn't listen to. It's about books you read. Make yourself a fully formed person and then work as much as you can.
I just loved what Adam had to say because as improvisers, our homework is to get as much life experience as we possibly can. So when we're on stage, we have stuff to access. So we're not doing the same scenes over and over and over again. At number two, we picked Katie Rich from episode 168. Katie is an amazing improviser who was on the main stage at Second City and is a writer for Saturday Night Live. Let's hear what Katie had to say.
Be kind and respectful to everyone. Because you don't know who's going to be with you for the rest of your life. You really don't. And everyone deserves to be treated the same way. So don't treat someone better because you think they can get you something.
This is a brilliant piece of advice from Katie. And I would say, I want to add on to this, this especially applies to people that you're in classes with. Because you may be saying to yourself, well, they're not that funny, they're not going to go that far, whatever. They may end up being still in show business, still in improv. They may end up being directors, producers, casting people. So just be aware of that. All right, number three, we picked Pete Gardner from episode 188, who was a phenomenal improviser here in Chicago in a group called Jazz Freddy, and he is now starring on the CW show My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Let's hear Pete's advice.
I would give the main advice is get up as much as often and fail. If that's what you're afraid of, fail as much as possible. Because as soon as you fail, you'll realize it's not that big a deal. It's not what you think it's going to be. It doesn't matter. What you assume as failure will just drift away. And then you take that off of the good and the failure so that you're just kind of always in the middle ground. You're always in the middle ground of like, it is what it is. And it's all in. It's all in. And then the other big piece of advice is if you're doing a lot of improv, stop and go take an acting class. Because you know what? Improv is the magic. Acting is the job. That's what you get paid for. You really get paid to say somebody else's lines. That's really, at least that's my experience. And then the improv is like a special tool that you have in your tool belt that makes it magical. But you gotta have that. You gotta have the acting. You gotta spend the time. Spend the time. I told that to Matthew, my son, when he was doing it. I'm like, you can only do this for a little while, then I'm cutting you off. And you gotta go do acting. You gotta do acting as well because you gotta have that discipline. We did it for what? 10 years? 10 years of improv? I mean, that's like ridiculous.
And you know what happens? 10 years of improv, you get your own podcast.
That's yeah, you do.
Yeah. This is right on. This is so right on. And it's so hard. It is so hard to do, but it is so true. If you want to get better at improv, or if you really want to get better at anything, you have to fail first. And you have to fail a lot of times. And that is very painful. I understand it. I am still failing. I'm failing doing this. I'm failing doing everything. That is the only way that you're going to get better at anything. And it sucks. I know it. And the other thing that I love that Pete talked about is take an acting class, especially if you want to do plays, TV, film, commercials, any of that stuff. You're going to have to read a script. Number four, we have Miles Stroth, who is the artistic director of the Pack Theater in Los Angeles. Let's hear what Miles has to say to beginning improvisers.
Do everything. Mainly create stuff. Study everywhere. Learn as much as you can, but mainly make stuff. My main mistake in the 30 years I've been doing it was I never created stuff. It was always just the show and then gone. Whereas I should have had 20 years of sketches written, but I never created anything. So
do you have regret about
create
that?
Create stuff. Yes, I regret that. I should have been, I should have been writing from the time I started probably.
Was that something of our generation that we were such improvisers?
Yeah, we were idiots. We were purists.
Right, yeah.
It's like, I'm not a sketch player. That's right. A script.
I'm not going to submit a packet to Conan. I'm an improviser.
That's ridiculous. I'll just impro my way there because that's always worked. So that's the mistake. Improv still is not something that you make money doing, right? It's a skill set that hopefully one day will be rewarded better, you know, commercially or financially. But people love it and do it because it is a fucking art form. But there's no money in doing it well. There's money in translating the skill set you learn doing it into other things. You look at all the people I know that are successful. They're not successful improvisers, right? They're successful writers or actors or producers. That's where the money and the success comes from, not from their ability to improvise. Although that skill set helped them do those other things.
Miles is right on when he says, create something, write something. Anything that I have ever gotten, including this podcast, is because I've created it. Improv is great, but he is right. There's not much money in it, and it's not very marketable. The thing about creating your own opportunities is I have found that other opportunities come to you. It's almost like an opportunity magnet. Let's move on to number five. Broad City, episode 115. That's Elena Glazer and Abby Jacobson. These two women are amazing. They're hilarious. And it was so cool to be able to interview them in person. Let's listen to their advice.
One piece of advice. I mean, this is so generic, but I would say, one, like, be patient. Because it's going to take a little while to find your voice. And once you feel like you find your voice, then don't be patient. Then really change gears and go go full force.
That's specific and perfect. That's awesome.
Alana, one piece of advice you would give somebody to starting out in improv and comedy today?
It is truly the means and not the end. If you focus on the end, people like smell that and it's like not hot. You actually have to have fun. It has to be so fun that you can't stop doing it.
Elena's advice is it's not about the results, it's about the process. And one that I have to keep remembering is to have fun. You got to have fun doing it. And I love what Abby said, you know, once you find your voice, basically just go for it. Follow the fear. You know what? This episode, I need to re-listen to this because it's really, these are things that I need to work on. Okay, let's move on to number 6, episode 116, Rachel Mason, who is the head of the advanced improvisation at the Second City Training Center in Chicago. Here's her advice.
Devour it all. Soak it all in. Do it all. Learn everything, every style, take every teacher. Learn from even teachers you don't like. Become a sponge. Stop thinking it's supposed to be something and take what it is in. Until you know who you are. And that takes a while.
How long did it take you?
I still don't know who the fuck I am. How long did it take me?
Where you knew, like, oh, you know, I'm pretty good at this.
Probably the first time I got asked to do Armando, I was like, oh shit, I must be good. Oh shit, years, they want me to play.
How many years was that? And that's...
That was probably 2 or 3 years after I started.
Okay. But you were at the Annoyance, Second City, and I.O. So you were taking three.
In my day, you weren't considered well-rounded unless you had taken classes at all three places. So remember I talked about the heart, the head, and the X factor?
Yes.
Right? To me, the Annoyance is the X factor. And the Second City, because no language or subject matter is taboo, any content. And the Second City is the head. Improv is a tool for sketch comedy. And the I.O. is the heart. Standalone pieces of improv that are never be seen again. So, like, if you want a job, you have to be able to do all three things. And if you want to be able to play with everybody, you have to be able to do all of those things. Not just play with the people who play like you in the place you want to play. Like, if you want to make a living, you will get better at the thing that you are not. So you can play anywhere with anyone.
Yes, 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 yes. Rachel is so right. We got to devour everything. And I loved how she broke down I.O., Second City, and The Annoyance. Number 7 is Chris Redd from episode number 110. He's a stand-up comedian, writer, and actor, and he's performed at the Second City. And here's what Chris had to say.
If you don't love it, don't do it. that's my advice. My real advice would be to work hard, man. Work hard. Don't care who's getting what, how fast they get what. What you're not getting, focus on the work. Always make a list of things you can do better. Always make a list of things that you are great at and constantly keep those things in check. And just go out and get reps. Reps, hours, time. There's enough room in this industry for everybody. There's an avenue for you, whatever you want to do. I would just say, like, stay focused and surround yourself around positive people because you're going to have enough negativity to last your lifetime.
Oh, God, he is so right. And I wish I could apply both of these. Don't compare yourself to others, because I'll tell you something. There's nothing that makes me feel worse than comparing myself to other people's success and other people's talent. And if you don't love it, don't do it. That's a really hard one also for me. Number 8 is advice from Lauren Lapkus, episode 101. You know her from Orange is the New Black, UCB ASCAT, and her own podcast with special guest Lauren Lapkus. Here's her answer when I ask her what piece of advice she'd give to an improviser starting out today.
I just wanted to ask what I do.
I couldn't agree with her more, but it is so scary to just throw yourself fully into it. And the lifestyle is fun. Number 9 is Brad Morris, episode 129. Brad is an actor, writer, and improviser. He is a member of The Reckoning at I.O. Chicago and Los Angeles and is an alumni of the Second City Main Stage. Here's his piece of advice.
Honestly, the thing I always tell people, because I do like giving this piece of advice, which is stop trying to do the thing you think you're supposed to be doing, whether it's on stage or off, and do really try and get good at working the muscle, which is listening to the part of you that is what you like or love to do, whether that's on stage or off. So meaning, I always loved watching improvisers who were, you know, and you're one of them, by the way, which is people that seem to go to the beat of their own drum, and they're not, they don't seem like they're improvising when they're up there, because they just are kind of doing this thing that they do, and they're able to react, if this makes sense, in that place, as opposed to being like, I know in this scene I should be a banker, I should be playing the scene this way. It's, by the way, very different from some people who I think approach things differently, which is like, the game was to do this, and you decided to not do that, and you should have done it this way. And that was the thing that I had trouble with at first, was people were like, I was trying to set you up to do that. You took a left turn instead of following that, and now, you know, whatever. So I had to learn how to play that way as well. But to listen to yourself and to do it a ton, to do it to the point where you might even go like, I need to take a month off from it, because even that is a breakthrough. Like, doing it so much that you're like, I'm actually burnt out on this. And I do it now to the point where I'm a little too close to it. I need some perspective is a great, healthy place to be, right? Because it's like, it means that you've maxed out on it. It's like, and I don't know, I've never worked out, so I don't know what that is, but I suppose that that's probably, there's an analogy there. But yeah. Just do listen to the thing that makes you laugh, and find what makes you laugh the most and what really inspires you the most, and try and do that. Don't try and – basically, don't listen to what I'm telling you. Don't do your own thing. Just keep following that. And that was a great annoyance thing too. It was like, play the way that you – that comes from your gut at all moments, and let the other stuff work itself out, because you already know that you're going to take care of each other and it'll all work out.
Brad is so wise. I'm jealous of how wise he is. This advice is just, it's so brilliant. Just listen to yourself and stop doing the thing you think you're supposed to be doing. God, that's hard. But it's so true. Let's move on to number 10. We're almost at 15. Number 10 needs no introduction. That's TJ and Dave, the legendary improv duo, the legendary improv masters, as far as I'm concerned. And here's what they have to say. Their advice to improvisers starting out today.
Get on stage in front of an audience as much as possible.
TJ?
If you're in Chicago, take advantage of the massive amounts of opportunity there is to perform with a bunch of different people and a bunch of different places. You won't find a place where you can do it all. You can do it as often as you want to do it. Although, if you're not, just be freaking nice. It'll get you so far being nice. It'll help your play. The right people will want to play with you, and you won't have a ton of apologies to make, you know, as you go.
These are why these guys are improv masters. These are why these guys are improv legends. TJ walks the walk. I was lucky enough to play with him on Carl and the Passions on a regular basis, and this guy was nice to everyone. And I always enjoyed hanging out with him before the show, notes after the show, and I've seen him interact with other people who's just starting out or students at I.O. He couldn't be more respectful and nice to people. And I love what Dave says, get in front of an audience as much as possible. Because you know what? You can take classes all you want, but if you really want to learn, it doesn't matter if you're doing this, stand-up, sketch, an audience. Get in front of an audience. It's scary, I know, but that's where the learning is accelerated. Number 11 is Jill Soloway from episode 128. She is the writer, director, and producer of the Emmy Award-winning Transparent on Amazon. Here's what she had to say.
Make stuff. Just make stuff. Get together with your funniest friends, the people who make you laugh, the people where you laugh so hard that you're crying, you laugh so hard that you're peeing in your pants. Gather those people together in a room. Bring a camera. Turn the camera on. Film it. Then edit it. And then show it to people.
I love this because if you can find a group of people that you can make laugh, there is no, it's not easy because comedy is so subjective. But if you can find those people, and I've found those people in the past, there's nothing that makes you feel more supportive and really can bring out your best work. Let's move on to number 12, and that's Bob Odenkirk from Better Call Saul and Mr. Show from episode 114. Here's Bob's advice.
Well, I said something in an interview the other day, and everyone's making too big a deal out of it. Somebody said, I said, get out of comedy. I did not say get out of comedy.
You're talking about the Salon article when you said get out of comedy because it's about to collapse?
Yeah, but I didn't say that. That's not what I meant. What I had said was day before that interview, I had visited the new UCB
on Sunset
Theater and Workspace.
It's like a complex, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It is huge. Mm-hmm. It has 14 classrooms, if I'm not mistaken. It's wonderful. I was at the opening day party. It was one of the greatest days of my life. You stood in the hallways and people walked by you. Every face from the scene in LA, older, younger, unbelievable. There's never been a building that could hold all those people, so that never happened before.
Why was it so great for you? Because you...
It just made you happy to stand there. And here's all these young people in groups. I know a lot of them. Some I've never seen. Here's old friends. Here's, you know, just people from the scene for the last 20 years. And they're all in one building. I mean, it was crazy, man. Crazy. I've never been at an event that had so many comedy people doing cool stuff and having a great time and happy and thrilled to be in together, to be in a group.
And I bet people are thrilled to see you, too.
I don't know. I think they're all happy to see each other. I mean, I don't know if I'm special that way. Anyways,
So Salon article. You didn't
So it was the day after that, but it was not the party. It was the day after I'd gotten a tour of the place and I'd seen the 14 classrooms and I just thought, okay, this is too big now. There's too many people doing it.
Improv.
It's gonna implode.
Right.
Improv in particular.
Okay.
Now that look, you were through the comedy stand up boom, right?
Yep.
Here you
in
remember.
Chicago, yes.
Zanies and the Funny Bone. Two clubs, right? Mm-hmm. There were two Zanies. There were two Zanies and one Funny Bone.
Then
2 years later, there were four Funny Bones and six Zanies.
Right, and then we had the Improv came here, remember?
And the Improv.
And then the...
And the Chicago Comedy Factory.
Right, and the Funny
and
Firm.
And the Funny Firm.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and every hotel had...
And every hotel had
a comedy
night.
Yeah.
And a lot of bars had a comedy night. So, that was cuckoo.
Right.
And it could not sustain. And it would not sustain. And it didn't. So, this... Look, all I was really saying was not get out of comedy. But I think, okay, so now everyone's improvising, okay? Everyone.
Mm-hmm.
There's 14 classrooms, okay?
That's just at the UCB.
Right.
There's IO, Second City,
Groundlings.
Yeah.
Okay, so now everyone's improvising.
Right.
So what's next? Because it's not, maybe I'm wrong. And look, I love sketch comedy. I still do it. I'm helping the birthday boys. David and I are going to do a Mr. Show special. I got another idea for a sketch show. I mean, I'm always going to do sketch in some way. I love it. So if it keeps going forever, great. I win, right? But the fact is, it feels like this is a bit of a moment in time. So what's my advice? It's not get out of comedy, but it is like, once people have had their fill of improv, what are they going to want next? What are they going to want to just go watch punk rock and be in a punk rock band? Are they going to play 12-inch softball? What's going to be next? Because I don't think, Am I wrong, Jimmy?
No. My question to you is,
I would propose. Okay, I would propose that maybe writing and story comes next.
But what does that look like? Because you're
maybe it looks like sketch shows. Maybe it looks like plays. Maybe it's drama. Maybe it's screenplay writing. Maybe it's I don't know what it is, but I'm just saying, if I was one of those people who is entering that improv world that's now got so many people in it, I would, and it's just a natural instinct in me too, would go, okay, fine, everyone's doing this, fuck this shit. What are people not doing enough of, or what's cooler than this? What digs a little deeper?
But how do you find what's cooler? It's not a
scientific thing where you sit back and you take out a spreadsheet. You know, you use your instincts and you've used your gut to figure out what's next, and it could be a number of things. If it's 12-inch softball, then I can't help you because I can't force myself to care about that. But hopefully it's some, you know, transformation of what is happening in the improv scene into even more interesting stuff.
Were you almost saying and that don't get lulled into this improv thing?
That's
don't be content. There's other things out there, which really is how you've led your life, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, I say I was pretty focused on sketch comedy for a long time, and I think SNL when it ended for me, and I knew I wanted to perform, and that's why I left, is because I wanted to get better as a performer. I didn't ask to perform on SNL because I said to Lorne, not that he cared if I left. I don't blame him, by the way. I wasn't that big of a help over there. But I said, look, I want to perform, and I'm not good enough to ask you to let me perform on this show. I know that. And so I need to go hit the skids and get to work and try to become better at it. Because I do love it enough that I don't think I can be only a writer and be happy. So I have to go either to Chicago or L.A. where I can pay my rent, and I have to get back to work getting better at acting and performing. And so I left there. Yeah. So I don't... Sometimes when I think you look at someone's career, you think there's a lot of planning involved, and you know there isn't a lot of planning.
It's really clear to me that the reason that Bob Odenkirk has had such a long, storied career in comedy is because of what he just said. And that is, what's next? What's the next trend? What is the thing that people are looking for that they haven't had? Let's move on to number 13, Mike O'Brien from Saturday Night Live, episode 166. Also a member of The Reckoning at I.O. Chicago and I.O. West, and an alumni of the Second City main stage. Here's his advice.
I would say to try to get as zen as you can about it and focus on that day's improv task, as opposed to your life goals, your year goals, jobs that you think you could have, other people have, the eventual place it's going, and block all that out and say, I've got 3 o'clock rehearsal today or 7 o'clock show or whatever. And that's what I'm excited about. That's what I'm nervous about. That's what I'm focused on, whatever it is, and block out where this is supposed to take you. I think people sign up for improv because of where they're supposed to get from it and seem very focused on that sometimes. And whenever I'm in that place, it's bad improv and unhappy living.
Mike O'Brien is truly an original voice. He is truly an artist, and he has always had the reputation of somebody who is willing to take risks and immerses himself in the process. Love what he says. You know, don't think of everything in terms of how it will further your career. And guess what? He has had a great career. Number 14, we're almost done. And I got to tell you something. I'm really having a great time. Jordan Klepper, episode 133. Jordan is a correspondent for The Daily Show. He is also he's also performed at the UCB New York and I.O. Chicago. Here's his advice.
Find what you love as fast as you can, and then work at that. think the not the game of the scene as is described at like UCB, but like the game of improv and of comedy and entertainment is can be as exhausting as the idea of being creative. And I think it's more interesting to find what you love in creativity and follow that, and then let the outside bullshit lie. Because I think it's tough to get an improv now. You can get those classes, but it's so hard to get on stage, and there's so many other things that get in your way. The faster you can get to that thing that you're excited about, and the faster you can get to those people who you like to work with, I think the quicker you're going to find what is important and what is unique about what you do, and I think you can find success in that. I think that's the quickest way to do that.
Do you know how much time I would have saved and how much farther my career would have been had I just listened to that simple advice of, like, find out what you love and just do it? All right, here it is, the final one. I really want to build this up. I have to say I'm dragging a little. I'm losing a little steam, but I'm going to do it for you anyways. Number 15, our final piece of advice comes from director, writer, actor, producer Jon Favreau. Here's what he has to say when I ask him what piece of advice he'd give to somebody starting out in improv and comedy today.
I think the most important thing is, and this is not something I expect people to understand, but just to hear. I thought I was coming here as a like waiting room to get discovered, or a way to present myself to people who could tap me on the shoulder and take me on a ride of a career, to be plucked out to be on in a certain company or on a certain TV show or a certain, and I think in retrospect it looks like that's exactly what happened, right? With Rudy, I got plucked out and got discovered, and there's in the dreams all came true from that, and there's truth to that. But the fact of the matter is, if I had not been working for those 4 years before that happened, and all the things that I thought were tough breaks that I wasn't getting lucky, it's kind of the worst thing that happens is if you get lucky too early. And I was very lucky that it balanced out just right, so that the breaks come just enough to keep me going, and each one's a little bit better than the last one, and I'm able to build on things from project to project. But it's been gradual. It's sometimes hard when you get too big of a break too early because you're not ready. And there are skills that you're learning and you're getting seasoned in ways that you don't even understand. And you're getting to watch and observe other people and be an apprentice, even though you don't realize you're being that, and a student to these mentors that are great. You know, there's such a great pool of teaching talent here. And I say here, meaning in the improv community, I'm sure.
Which is expanded.
It's expanded out with UCB and all the people, yes, that can, you know, and so you have it in New York, you have it in LA, you have it in Toronto, you have it in, I think,
you have it all over the world.
You do.
Yeah.
So I don't mean Chicago specific, I'm saying, because I did it here. But the things that you think are setbacks or disappointments are really part of a bigger journey. And you are learning things that you're going to need, even though you don't understand it. And even today, I could be in a visual effects meeting looking at a bit that's supposed to be comic relief and looking at pages that came in and are not funny, and I have to make a scene funny. And I know that there are certain rules, like heighten and transform, that will get you to funny. Like, there's a bag of tricks that I have that if a scene's not working, I can give direction to the actors in much the same way I would as a coach of an improv team, that you have certain things that you know are going to lead to making a scene compelling, keeping it from being, what do you call it? I think you say it's too linear, it's not heightening enough. Like, there are certain rules that come from improv that aren't just for improv. They're for writing, they're for filmmaking, they're for editing, being in the editing room, and knowing what lines to cut out of scenes, how to rewrite things. You know, that all comes from refining a sketch, or being paid, everybody throwing a buck in a hat to have me coach their improv team and watch their performance and giving notes afterwards, or watching, you know, realizing why we bombed or why we did good that night. And all those little things, they don't come quick. They take a while to sink in. You have to have, you know, your fair share of failures and successes to be able to really metabolize those rules to the point that you can draw upon them. And then once you have all that, and you know where the laugh's going to come, you could be on a set with no audience, and you know where the laugh is, and you could hear the laughter. You know, you can get timing down. You understand what the audience is always there sitting on your shoulder because you've had the experience of being in those situations. And it's that awareness of how what you're doing is going to be received that really helps color a performance, whether you're a film actor or if you're a director or a writer, helps you understand and connect with the audience that isn't there yet.
John's advice that there's failures and that you can learn from your failures and that's just part of the process is one of the reasons that I did this podcast. Because it doesn't matter who I have and where they are in the food chain and the entertainment or improv spectrum of things, everyone that's been a guest on the show is successful. And they become successful because they've had these failures. And what I find interesting is not only have they had failures, but how they've overcome these failures. And I wish when I was starting out, there was someone who told me, you know what, Jimmy? Talent is only a small part of the equation. You are going to have failures. You're going to have setbacks. You're going to have disappointments. You're going to feel sorts of feelings. You're going to be comparing yourself to other people. You're going to have jealousy. You're going to have self-sabotage. But you can overcome these things. And how do you overcome these things? You hear one of the ways to do that is hearing other people say, hey, you know what? I didn't get something I wanted, and it turned out to be better getting something else. That's really important to me. And the other reason I do this podcast is for me, because I need to hear this stuff. I need to be inspired myself, because I forget this all the time. As you know, I can go into a dark place, self-pity, I'm not good enough, all of that stuff. But I do this because I need to learn this stuff. And the good news is, I think some of it is sticking. I want to thank all my guests from the last 200 episodes, too many to repeat here right now. I would like to thank my producer, Dan Schiffmacher, the one who makes me sound so slick and so professional. I would like to thank Sam Bowers, the director of the live version of Improv Nerd. I would like to thank my wife, Lauren Corraine, who helps prepare me and for these interviews and does research and makes sure that I hit deadlines and all of this stuff. If it wasn't for Lauren, I would be a bigger mess than I already am. I would like to thank Stage 773 and Brian Posen and Jill Valentine for their unending support and hosting us for the last 5 years. I would like to thank Jesse Swanson at the Second City Training Center for hosting us at the Beat Lounge at Second City, our new home. I would also like to thank Dustin Marshall at feralaudio.com for bringing me on part of this wonderful podcast collective at feralaudio.com, and Matt Dwyer for introducing me to Dustin Marshall. And of course, I'd like to thank you for listening and subscribing and sending me wonderful Facebook messages and emails and writing great reviews on iTunes and just giving me such great feedback on this podcast. Because without you, this thing would just be, this without you, it doesn't exist, all right? Because you know I'm a weak person and I need constant reinforcement. So there you have it. I want to extend my gratitude and thanks for your support over the last 200 episodes. And as you know, until next time, walk, don't run.
Hello. I'm Dave Ross.
Hey, and I'm Hampton Yunt.
And we host Suicide Buddies on Starburns Audio.
That's right. It's a podcast about suicide, but not to make light of it. We actually talk about suicidal thoughts, depression, kind of with a sense of levity that Dave and I have with each other. He's my best friend. Come on.
Yeah, we're buddies. Suicide Buddies.
That's the title.
One of our favorite episodes that we've recorded so far is about this guy, Jan Pataki, who was a Polish aristocrat in the 19th century. Mm-hmm. And he, one of the reasons it's possible that he killed himself is that he thought he was a werewolf.
Oh.
Check out a clip. It also makes me think, like, we were talking about in the Norway black metal episode, how, like, just the culture of your surroundings can affect you. Like, yeah. He's in a castle in Poland. He's like, I mean, if you lived in a castle in Poland and no one knew anything about anything, you might be like, I'm a bat. I'm probably a bat.
That's like literally what happened to Batman. He literally is in his mansion. He's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm a bat.
I'm a bat. I'm a bat.
I'm
a bat that helps people.
I'm a bat that helps people.
I'm a rich.
I don't know what you want from me. And my girlfriend, she's a cat. She's a cat.
My girlfriend's a cat.
She steals things. She's a woman who steals things. She's a cat. I'm a bat.
I'm a bat. I help people. She's a cat. We fight a penguin.
My